Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. Good morning, church. I want to welcome you to this message today on this virtual service from The Bridge Church in Kilwinning. My name is Pastor David McLaughlin. And thankful that you could join us. To all of our church family down in Ayr, Kilwinning, we're missing you, but we trust God that all is well. Praise God, if you feel tired today, then I'm believing that this message will give you strength and energy. If you're feeling discouraged today, then I'm believing that this message will give you encouragement. And if you're just feeling like you need some inspiration, then I'm trusting God that this message will inspire you as well. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we're thankful for this new day. Father God, we honor you today. This is your day, Father. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Father, we thank you for your word in Romans chapter 13, which says, owe no man anything but to love him. Father, and thank you that today you've been our example in love in so many ways, Father God. We're thankful that you loved us first and you give us the ability to love others, to love our neighbors, Father, to love our enemies. And so today, Father, we're thankful for your word. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you strengthen us today. We thank you, Lord, that there's a promise for those that wait on you. Father, according to your word, Lord, it says that we will rise up on wings as eagles. You will renew our strength, Father. So, Lord, as we are bearing through these difficult times with one another and as a nation, we thank you, Lord, that you're strengthening us and you're strengthening your church today, Father God. We're thankful, Lord, that today we would see our world through a different lens, Lord, that we would see this world through and this situation through your eyes, Father God, and not through our own natural eyes, Father God. So we lean on you today, Father God, and we know, Lord, that you make everything beautiful in its time. And so, Lord, we're thankful for all of the great things and the good things that will come out of this testing time for us all, Lord. But we're thankful that you're with us and you never leave us or forsake us. Let your word bless every hearer today, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, amen. God's ways are the best ways. And that's the title of this message today. His way is the best way. And before you came on to this message, you'll have watched the first mini movie. Thank you for doing that. It helps to put this message in context. And there's one that follows on after this as well. We'll also be taking communion today. So if you want to have your communion elements ready for later on, that would be good. But thanks so much for watching the mini movie. They've been so real to me and so moving to me. And I want to encourage you to let these bits of media speak into your heart, not just your head. And I love to connect with things on a heart level. And this media definitely has an anointing on it. It definitely is stirring something inside my heart. And in the movie that you just watched, you'll have seen this man called Del Seymour, his name is. And he's been a vital part in reshaping and changing the lives of those in his community. And he's got a great story. He's a bit of a character, I think. I laughed at his story about how inconvenienced he was that a local church had come along and begun to evangelize on his turf. And he says, all of this God stuff is getting in the way of my dealing, because he was dealing in drugs. But thank God that that man had an encounter with Jesus and surrendered his life to Jesus, and God's business then became his business. So, you know, we've just got to be bold as a church. I think we've got to move into neighborhoods and areas where we might think, oh, do you know what? This isn't my turf. I don't belong here. God will give us a boldness to go and do that. And the word says that on every place in which our foot shall tread, he has given it to us. So be bold, be courageous, and you can go wherever God says you can go. You can do whatever God says you can do in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, you know, just like that man, Del, along with that moment that you make that decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, comes a huge deposit at the same time. You get a deposit of love, a deposit of compassion, you get a deposit of wisdom and of knowledge, and so much more. And the main thing is you get God's Holy Spirit, who leads us, guides us on this earth, and leads us in the ways of the Lord. And this morning, I want to just say that I'm going to be emphasizing the ways of the Lord in quite a big way. And so this man, Del, begins to see the life of those in his neighborhood and what's going around him through a different lens, just as we prayed before. Sometimes we've got to pray to see things through a different lens, from a different perspective. We've got to pray to God to help us to see things from his vantage point. Whenever we see things from God's vantage point, we have an advantage. So I've been so disadvantaged in my life seeing things from my own point of view. And I've begun to learn that we have to see things God's way. Amen. And so he was moved to help people get back up, and as he put it, to get them back on their A game. So praise God for that. But his story really made an impression on me. And one of the things that really impacted me was when he said, the day he put a crack pipe in his mouth, he said it lasted for 18 seconds, but it led to 18 years of bondage and addiction to crack heroin. And I believe that every one of us listening today can relate to that on a personal level when it comes to things that we do habitually or things that we can become addicted to. And that reminded me that, you know, a habit can start in seconds, but it can last for a lifetime. And a lifetime's a long time. And so we got to be careful, even for those brief moments when we do something or we give or invest a part of our lives into something, we've got to be careful and consider what that might end up doing. And in this particular time of isolation, things are being magnified in a far greater way. Habits and behaviors are definitely one of the things that are being magnified. So why don't we try and establish new habits during this time and diligently press in with renewed discipline to reestablish ways, notice I said ways, that have been let go by us or that have been lost. Ways, the way we go in life is important. And I'm going to be, as I said, emphasizing God's ways in this message today. But going back to Del Seymour's story, you know, he recognized that the answer to helping people went way beyond simply providing relief for those people. And those people, he described their situation as being a living hell on earth. And that just about gets to, you know, it certainly conveys to us that these people are at the lowest ebb of their life. They're at the lowest point in their life. And he says that these people had no hope and they had no dignity. And because of his own personal victory over his addiction, he knew that he was in a position and in a place, a very privileged place, to be able to show people the way to changing their lives. He has an opportunity. He came up from that place of total bondage and then was able to show others the way. And I think that's important. I also want to say this morning, don't wait until you feel ready to do something for your neighbor or to go and love your neighbor. Don't wait until you feel ready to do that. I can honestly say this morning, I'm getting personal here, that I've never really felt ready to go and do anything. And this man Del shows us that. You get up and you go and you're able to help someone else up. And readiness is readiness is different for everyone. Some people just never feel like they're ready to do anything. I believe that we must behave in faith and just be ready to let faith produce its fruits. That's the most important thing. The most important thing is you might feel, I'm not ready to do anything, but be ready to have faith and to allow your faith to produce fruits. That's what we need to be ready to do, because faith doesn't consider the circumstances that is out there. We do. We consider the circumstances. Faith doesn't pay any attention to the circumstances. Faith just keeps its focus on Jesus. Faith just keeps its focus on God. Amen. And so I believe that in no matter what state you are, whether you think you're ready or not, the chances are you probably feel like you're not. You'll be blessed when you help others out of your own brokenness, state of unreadiness, even being in a state of being unwilling sometimes to help other people. I believe that you'll find a great reward and blessing in simply acting in faith and going and doing it. And I want to ask you a question this morning. How do we give people hope? How do we give people their dignity back? How do we show people a better way? Well, just like Del said, you've got to give people an opportunity to be able to change their lives and to improve their conditions. Amen. You've got to give people that opportunity to change. And there was, like I said last week, I'm very, very fond of this young lady that's playing the guitar and singing songs in the background for these videos. Her name is Blair Weber, by the way, and I can't find any of her music on the internet. But one of the lyrics that she sang today was this: my old life doesn't fit me anymore, so I took it off, just like a suit of clothes. Like a child, I'd grown out of what I'd worn, and I'd never once regretted what I chose. Absolutely beautiful lyric there. And I believe that there are many people out there that want to strip off their old life. Even as a Christian, there are still things that I want to strip away from my life. Trust God, maybe you even feel the same way, and we can do that with God's help. And people want to strip off their old lives and put on a new one. And the old life that we led and was beaten and battered and bruised, and it was worse for wear. Sometimes people just need someone to come alongside them and to show them a new way to live, to show them a new way of life. And I want to read out of Colossians to you today. So if you have your Bibles with you, see, I can't see into your living room. You can. This is like a one-way mirror, this new way of doing church. And it's so unusual. But I trust you have a Bible near you, and you have or your e-Bible. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, when I start reading there in the New International Version, it says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Get rid of them. Let them go. Leave them behind. You know, we're moving into a new season right now. There's a changing of seasons. And I think some of us have to lighten the load and we need to leave stuff behind in that old season. Verse 8 says, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Hallelujah. We can rejoice at that scripture because it tells us there that we can be renewed, gives us hope that we can put on a new suit of clothes, we can put on new life in Christ, and we're all, every single person walking this earth is only one decision away from doing that. And you know, in the past couple of weeks, as we've been talking about this series on our 12 neighbours, loving your neighbour, we've talked about the importance of sowing time and availability, haven't we? You know, and we've seen that in this video today. Adele says, you know, don't bring us food. We don't need food. We're obese. He didn't look obese, actually. But we don't need food. But we need you to come and sow your time, come back again and again and again, and help to lift people out of their situation. It's so necessary. You know, I heard this statement one time: if you want to achieve what you want out of life, then help someone else achieve what they want out of theirs. And it's been a very strong ethic that I'm trying to develop in my own life, and we could all take that on and recognize that helping others achieve what they need to achieve, celebrating others, preferring others above ourselves, celebrate their successes and their victories, and bring a change that focus, it's very, very powerful. When we prefer others over ourselves, we usually find what we are looking for in the process. God's amazing. He just honors that. He just honors that heart, condition of the heart, attitude of the heart, to prefer others above ourselves. And that's amazing. We know that the only thing that can truly change the heart of a man is the word of God. That God puts his word in our mouths, he puts his word in our hearts, and he lets the word that's in there work itself out of our lives in various different ways. There are things that I can do that you can't do, and there are things that you can do that I will never be able to do. I never be able to hope to do some of the things that if you're listening, you have great gifts, talents and abilities. And a lot of the time, the only thing that is missing is the need to develop those things. And you'll have noticed that this little video, the two mini movies today, talk about doing development. And that is really all that is missing. It's about developing one another, helping to develop others to achieve what it is, to achieve that new life in Christ Jesus that'll turn their lives around and be a blessing to others. I want to read another portion of scripture to you in 1 John chapter 3 today. Verse 11, it says, "For this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should all love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Hallelujah. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" And there's a great phrase in Psalms when you read, it says, Selah, which means, I believe, to stop, pause, and think about that. Now, that word's not here, but that's definitely a Selah moment. And finally, in verse 18, it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." You know, that scripture, those words are the ways of God. When we read through God's word, we are reading his ways. And I seen something come up this week on my social media that said, if you're not hearing from God, then go and open your Bible and read it until you hear from God. That is where we'll find God. God's ways is in his word, and we can pray out of his word to him. And then I believe that this channel of communication is reopened, revitalized, when we get back to his ways. God's ways are always based on truth. God's ways are unchanging. God's ways are eternal. They never change. We can always put our put our lives in God's hands and in his ways and be assured that everything will be okay. God has made us in his image and likeness, hasn't he? Genesis chapter 9 tells us that. God wants us to love his creation. That's his ways. Love his creation. And of course, we see the corruption that's come into the world. We see the perversion that's come into the world through sin. But we still know one thing, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him would not perish but have everlasting life." God sent the way for us, to make a way for us. And, you know, the world out there that's loved by God should be loved by us too. That's his way. And I believe that the love of God, that agape love of God, that'll drive us to prayer, should drive us into prayer, drive us to evangelize those that are in need and that are blinded. The word says they're blinded to the gospel. They're blinded to the good news. The word says that it's as if people have scales over their eyes. And so there's a way that we can overcome that and get beyond that. You know, we'll see needs everywhere we look, and it's how we react to these needs that determines the fruit that will be produced in dealing with every particular need. And, you know, everything comes back down to a few main things. There's nothing new under the sun, but people all feel that they have their own peculiar, specific struggles and needs. But there's our reaction to the needs of people has to be rooted and grounded in God's ways and his word. You know, Del Seymour, his new life in Christ resulted in him having the wisdom to recognize God's ways. And you see, providing relief is fine. It's good. It's a natural thing to want to provide relief. But the need to develop and disciple people, I believe, is greater than that. And so, you know, relief as people, relief is like our first natural response to people that are suffering. And a wee illustration of this, last week I was clearing out my garage, and one of my neighbors down the close here, his son was out on his BMX bike, and he was, I was actually speaking to his dad over the street, and his son was bombing up and down. And it was one of those moments where I could hear something was not quite right. And his son went into a bit of a speed wobble, I think, and went over the handlebars and right onto the tarmac. And my first reaction was to run over and to help him, which I did. But then as I got closer to this young lad, I restrained myself, remembering the whole distancing thing that we're in. But I just wanted to bring some relief. Thankfully, his dad was there too. And he's I noticed out the corner of my eye, his dad was also running over to help him at the same time. So we have this natural reaction to want to bring relief to people. But there's so much more than just relief. And so developing and discipling addresses the longer term needs of people that are in, that are suffering, that are in distress, that are going through tough times. Yeah, we can do some things to relieve their suffering and their pain. But when we do development, when we do discipling, when we draw alongside people and we help them on that journey, that's far more powerful. And that's a long, it's a slow and a long process. Sometimes it's very laborious before we see change coming about. But I want to encourage you, it's worth it. And it addresses the foundational problems that are responsible for holding people in bondage when we do development in that way. Relief addresses crises. And we see relief work going on all around us just now. And I'm not belittling relief work. Relief work is so important. But it deals with a crisis. But discipleship and development addresses life in its full frame, in its widest possible sense. And so discipleship, as we know, involves knowing God's ways and making his ways known to other people. And so I want to read in Psalm 103 to you today from verse 6. It says there, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses." Okay, he made his ways known to Moses. "His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. He abounds in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Amen. If you look at verse 7, it says there that God made his ways known to Moses, but his deeds to the people of Israel. You know, God's deeds brought relief to those people. No doubt about it. They needed relief. They were in so many crises in the wilderness, and God brought relief, but God showed Moses his ways. And God will use, you know, you can imagine that wilderness journey. And for us as well, God uses the wilderness to teach us his ways. And so God brought relief to the Israelites, but relief is temporary. Ways are eternal. You know, I've been so thankful of people relieving me from certain things in my life. But God's ways are more than that. They're eternal, they're everlasting. And so, you know, deeds last whilst we are on earth. They do bring relief. But God's ways last for eternity. They resound and they echo into eternity. So drawing alongside someone and helping them, showing them God's ways, and letting God's ways be evident in our own lives has a far greater impact, I believe, than a temporal relief. We can meditate on that this week, I believe. So, you know, when we are looking for God's ways, when we want to know his ways, it'll cause us to cling to him and to be able to truly say, you know, Father God, all our hope is in you. You're our good shepherd. You go in Psalm 23. Read that this week, Psalm 23. You know, he's still our shepherd in the good times and in the bad times. He's our shepherd. And we will go through troubled times. We will go through stormy times. And it's not a case of if we go through stormy times, it's a case of when. Yeah, Isaiah 43 says that to us. Can I read that to you? In verse 1, this is what the Lord says: He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. I have summoned you by your name. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, the flames will not set you ablaze. You will not be burned. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen. So you'll notice there it says it's when we go through these times, not if we go through fire and flood. It's not if we go through storms. It's not if we go through pandemic. It's not if we go through wars and hear rumors of wars and there be trials and tribulations on the earth. It's not if we go through that. It's when we go through that. It's when you get that report that perhaps there's something foreign in your body. And in the name of Jesus today, I declare that whoever is struggling with anything that shouldn't be in your body, in the name of Jesus, that it would not rear its ugly head in your body or in your life, and that you will be delivered from it in Jesus' name. Just feel a real anointing right now just to say that and to declare it and to pray it over you, that it's not yours. And even though what it looks like in the natural, that it's there, ask you today to see things from God's vantage point. See things from his perspective. Place all of your faith and your trust in him. Amen. Because God remains faithful. His ways are not as our ways, but we can ask him to show us his ways. And I want to finish this message today with one final way of the Lord, and it's in Leviticus 23. Verse 22. In the NLT, it says, when you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. Leave it for the poor and for the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. As scripture talks about, you could picture a farmer, his fields. And around the edges of the fields, there may be corn or produce that hasn't been harvested properly, or it's been dropped there by the harvesters, whatever the case may be. Leave that there so that people may come and may avail themselves of it. We can ask ourselves why this farmer has been asked to leave the gleanings of the harvest for others instead of just taking a portion of the harvest and giving it to the poor. I believe there are a few reasons here for this, but one of the reasons is because I believe God knows that development and discipling are crucial to a strong people. Development, being able to go and to do something, is critical for our ourselves as people, our worth, it's and our identity. Now, if the farmer had donated that stuff to the poor would have had relief. But they're now given an opportunity to come themselves and to glean from this field themselves. That provides these people with opportunity. It provides them with dignity. It provides them with hope. And it begins to, I believe, bring the balance between relief and development and opportunity into a better balance. Leaving something for the newcomer or for the foreigner, okay, from our points of view, we have a great inheritance. Now what we want to do is allow the overflow of what God has given to our lives, blessed us with. Let's leave that overflow to bless our neighbors, to bless others, to be able to give hope and dignity back to other people. You know, sometimes we do just have to give up a portion of that that we've worked for. I call it my tithe. I give my tithe. My wife and I, we tithe every month. We tithe and we give that up. And once it leaves our lives and it leaves our hands, we've given our tithe. We're not concerned anymore with what becomes of that, because we know we've sown it into good soil. And so we give that up. And sometimes we instinctively want to offer relief to people, but we miss the greater opportunity then to draw alongside them and to walk with them and to journey with them. I believe that is important, you know. And so you might have heard on one of the mini movies there, someone say, every day that you get up, even in your brokenness or in your pain, every day that you get up and you help someone, you've been a success. Your day has been a success when you do that. So I want to finish this message off with one of those lyrics again, the beautiful lyrics and that young lady sang. And here it is. Because I believe in the good in me. It's not about where I've been, but who I'll be. So I'll move ahead with the will to fight. I might make mistakes, but I'll make them right. That's just awesome. It's amazing. I love these lyrics that are there. And there's more of them. You should listen carefully in the movies for them. But praise God. Let us just, let's close this message in prayer. And if you have any questions over today's message, or if you've tuned in and you're an unbeliever or an unchurched person, I want to ask you, I invite you to contact us through the details on our website. We would love to take the time to draw alongside you and to explain the things and the ways of God's kingdom to you, and to say to you today that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the God's word says, no man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way to salvation, to redemption, to an eternal home in heaven. So I want to encourage you with that today. Let's just pray together. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Father, we're thankful for life today. We're thankful, Father God, that every day we wake up, we can always find something to be thankful for. Father God, we ask you to show us your ways today. Help us to be sensitive to the voice of your Spirit. Help us to recognize your voice. Help us to know when you're speaking to us, Father God. Father God, we're thankful, Lord, that you're helping us through this changing time. You're helping us move from one season to another, and you will help us, Father God, to leave the baggage of the past behind, Father God, and to help us move onwards with more vigor and more energy, more spiritual energy for life, Father God, and for the lost, Father God. Give us a heart for the lost. Give us the capacity to love others, Father God, just as you have loved us, Father God. So we thank you, Lord God, that things are changing, Father, and you're helping us, giving us the courage, Lord, to lay some things down in our lives and to leave certain things in the past, Father God. We thank you, Father God. We know that at some points in our life, there are necessary endings, that we have to make those brave decisions, Lord, to end some things, to move forward in the new. Father, but we want to walk forward in new ways and in your truth, Father God. So help us to do that, Father God, today. We thank you, Lord, that your anointing has been on the word today. We thank you, Lord, that for everyone who has heard it, Lord, that it is really transforming their lives today, Father God. So we give you all of the praise and all of the honor, all of the glory is yours, Father God. Father God, we thank you. We know Jesus is coming soon, and you never leave us, Father God. So we're so thankful for that today, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, amen and amen. We're going to take communion shortly. But before we do that, I just want to give you a little announcement. We're going to trial something next week. And it's a telephone number that you can call from your landline or a mobile phone. And you can listen to the messages over your telephone. I just want to make it clear that it's not taking the place of virtual church. It's just another means, pardon me, by which you can access it. So if you know someone who's not very good with the technical side of things, give them this number. It's 01294, which is our local area code. And the number is 444374. I'll say that again. It's 444374. When you dial that number, follow the instructions and you'll be able to listen to this message or the Sunday message just by dialing that number. We hope this blesses you. We're going to trial it for a number of weeks to see how it goes. As far as I know, it only costs you the price of a local telephone call. So we're just letting you know that as well. So God bless you. Be well. Stay well. Be an encourager to someone this week. And we are missing you terribly, but we look forward to being with you all again soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.